sure whether we should continue Sigyas of Rov and Sveikas for today's year, or should we have something related in Yad HaYomah. Make everybody happy, so we'll try to do a little bit of both. So we'll try to learn a Sigya that relates to an important Shaila Ma'aseh over Sukkah, but that touches very much on some of the principles that we've been speaking about in the realm of a Rov and Bittul Barov, etc. So the Sigya begins in Ma'aseh Sukkah, a very, very famous Shaila that probably causes the most trouble in terms of building a sukkah today, and that's the issue of a sukkah tachas ilon. What is the halach of a person has a sukkah, but on top of sukkah one has a tree? So the Mishnah says beferish that a osis of kasa tachas ilon is kilo asa b'sukkah bayis. If a person builds a sukkah under a tree, so that's tantamount to building a sukkah inside a house. So just as obviously you can't build a sukkah inside a house, the house is considered to be a davra mafsik, that's a davra which cancels out the schach. So too, if you have a sukkah under a tree, that's also considered to be a problem. So it's clear from the dimyon of the Mishnah, from the comparison of the Mishnah, that this is a din min haTorah, that also sukkah tachas ilon is not acceptable even min haTorah. So the Gemara comments on the dimyon, on the comparison that the Mishnah made to a sukkah under a house, that just as a sukkah under a house, so the house is complete sail, the house is a total complete shade, is providing complete and total shade. That's what's called tzilsa meru mechamsa. There's obviously more shade in my ceiling than there is sun coming through, or else I have a very, very shvach ceiling. So a regular house, of course, is tzilsa meru mechamsa. So just as a house is tzilsa meru mechamsa, so too the type of a tree that disqualifies a sukkah is when the tree is a tzilsa meru mechamsa as well. So the basic halacha of osa sukkah of tachas ilan only applies when the tree branches are providing so much shade that they are the tzilsa meru mechamsa, you have more shade than sun. That's the psula that the Mishnah is referring to. So the Gemara says, wait a second, is that really true? The Gemara says that sometimes you can have a situation, even if the branches are not that thick, even if the branches are only chamsum resiltza, it's just a little bit, it's not so terrible, that could also sometimes cause a problem in the sukkah. The Gemara says that don't take the dimyon so literally. Don't say that the din of ilan only disqualifies when it's such a heavy, thick branches. Even if it's not such a thick branches, it could potentially cause a problem, because let those thin branches have the status of schach posel. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara is going to solve that problem in a minute. Before we get to the solution, we have to understand what the problem is. So the Chayru, what does the Gemara mean with this? The Gemara seems to be telling us that there are really two different halachas of sukkah tachas ilon. When the ilon is a lot of shade, that's for sure possible. That's not even a question. But when the tree is not providing all that much shade, so it's not really a problem of sukkah tachas ilon, but it's a problem of schach possible. What kind of schach possible? It's a schach possible. So it's a big machlekes of Rishon. What exactly does the Gemara mean with that statement? And this machlekes of Rishon is going to affect many, many of our sukkahs. So many of the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos learn what the Gemara means is as follows: that schach that's connected to the ground is schach posel. Maisa, if I would use all schach just from something which is mechubal karka, that would not be acceptable. One of the principles of schach is it has to be something which is not mechabal tuma, and it has to be something which grew in the ground, and it also has to be something which doesn't grow in the ground right now. So schach that's mechubar, that's a psul in schach. So what the Gemara is asking is as follows: if I have a sukkah and I don't have enough schach kosher on, I have a couple of pieces of bamboo on the sukkah, but I want to use as part of my schach some of the branches of the tree that are still connected, so that's a problem. That's what the Gemara was addressing. Even though those branches per se are not all that many, it's not all that many, but that's what I need. So I have, the halach is after 51% of the sukkah has to be covered. I need tzilsa meru mechamsa. So I only have 40% of the sukkah covered with regular bamboo. So I want to throw in the extra 11%. I want to use the branches of the tree. That's the problem. That's what the Gemara was concerned with. Because in the end of the day, I don't have 51% of schach kosher. Part of the schach that I'm using is schach that's mechubal lekarka. But come Rashi and tells us and say, what if I have a kosher sukkah? I have sukkah with 90% schach. My sukkah is kimat completed, it's totally covered with bamboo. And it happens to be that there's some schach of ilan above the tree somewhere. But that amount, that ilan is not affecting my percentage of schach. I have 90% of the sukkah kosher, is covered with kosher schach. So that minuscule amount of branches that happen to be covering over my sukkah, big deal. What does that have to do with me? It's not a super tachas ha'ila because it's not a tzilsim r'michamsa, so it's not a lot of branches. And but it means chag posel. Who cares about chag posel? Whatever. I have 90% of chag kosher. So that's according to Rashi and Tosis. That would be a gevaldik kula. According to Rashi and Tosis, when you build a sukkah, you just have to ask yourself two questions in terms of trees. Do you have enough schach kosher? Do I have schach kosher that if the tree wasn't here, I would be okay? That's the first question. And the second question you have to ask yourself is, and even if there's an elon on top of me, is that elon a lot of the branches? Or is the elon just a branch here and there? If the answer to that question is, it's only a branch here and there, and the answer to the first question is that I have 100% schach kosher, and the soap is totally kosher. That would be a gevaldik kula. That would be true. We would put out of business a lot of the tree cutters before sukkahs. But you have to go start cutting every branch. You have to start looking and drain every branch. A couple of branches here and there are all chamsim and mitzil, so they're not so significant to them. And you have schach kosher anyway, so what's the problem? Problem is that many of the Rishonim don't accept Rashi and Tosfos pshat. Many of the Rishonim, the Ramban and others, learn a different pshat in the Gemara. Comes the Ramban and says, no. But the Gemara meant to say is as follows. The Gemara said that any schach that is underneath any branch, anyway, no matter what the branch is, chamtsu mitzilsa, tzilsu mechamtsa, any schach that's underneath the branch is kaman d'leisa. It doesn't exist. It's as if it doesn't exist. Why doesn't it exist? Because it's not serving the function of tzel. It's not providing shade. The basic halach is that schach has to provide shade. The din is, you don't have to make the sukkah lishma. If the sukkah was made, even not for the purposes of a mitzvah, you still yotzei the mitzvah, b'di'evin. The chatchila is supposed to be made l'shem mitzvah, at least part of it is supposed to be made l'shem mitzvah. But b'di'evin, if the schach is put on, even shalom l'shem mitzvah, I'd say, as long as it was put on l'shem tzeil, as long as it was put on for the purpose of providing shade. Let's say, for example, somebody had to store some bamboo somewhere. So I have a bunch of bamboo in the basement. I want to store it somewhere else. So I take it outside. I throw it on top of some walls outside in the middle of July because I want to store it. And then comes this time and I realize, oh my golly, I have walls and I have schach. Great, I'm home free. So the din is not that sukkah is possible in the Torah. Why? Even though it wasn't made with shema, that doesn't disqualify the sukkah. What disqualifies the sukkah is that it wasn't made with tzel. It has to be for the purposes of tzel. So if you have schach that's not providing tzel, why is it not providing tzel? Because there's already pre-existing tzel. The branches are already providing tzel. So whatever is underneath, directly underneath the branches, is kemandolaisa. It doesn't count. And it's treated like schach posel. It's schach shelo l'shem tzel. So it's schach posel. So says the Ramban, every drop of schach that's underneath a tree is automatically no good. So now you have to start to chisel away your sukkah. So you have to make a cheshbon. You have to go up and try to figure out what's directly underneath the tree. Anything under the tree is as if it doesn't exist. If that doesn't exist, and that doesn't exist, and that doesn't exist, by the time you finish it not existing, I don't have a sukkah anymore. So that's what we try to be cheshbon. 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, whether we follow Rashi, whether we follow the Ramban. So we try, l'chatkilu, when we build our sukkahs, we try to be cheshbon for the Ramban Shita, that any tree anywhere over the sukkah is basically transforms the schach directly under it as if it doesn't exist. So it depends what that means. So if you have just a very small amount, so it doesn't exist, so it's schach possible, big deal. You have a little bit of schach possible here and there, it's not going to ruin the sukkah anyway. But if you start to get enough of it, if you have a big tree, and a big tree over here, and a big tree over here, and a big tree over here, before you know it, you're going to end up with schach possible. So the bottom line is, the Mishnah says that osa sukkah tachas ilan is no good. The Gemara says that the Iker din in the Mishnah really applies only if the Elon is a lot of shade to it, tzilsa merumi chamsa. If it's chamsa merumi tzilsa, that could also pose a problem. Machlek is Rashi and Rabban. What's the case that it poses a problem? But that's not what I want to talk about today. This is just the introduction to get to what I really want to talk about. So we lost you with the trees. Don't worry about it. Now, don't lose the forest for the trees. Now we get to the real point. Comes the Gemara and says, you could solve this problem. If you have a sukkah under a tree, there's a way to salvage the sukkah. How is that? Says the Gemara, "Bishachoftan." What you should do is like this: if you have a tree that's 100 feet up, that's going to be a big problem. There's no shield or dover, so 100 feet away, you're not going to be able to do this trick. What if you have a tree that's right above the sukkah, so 2 feet above the sukkah? Says the Gemara, no problem. Just lower the branches down a little bit and mix in the branches together with other branches, these branches which are kosher. So take off some branches of somewhere else. Take some bamboo, take some regular kosher schach, and throw a lot of schach onto the sukkah. And then just lower those branches. If you could detach those branches, that would be great. You can't get the tree guy to detach it. So at least bend the branches over and mix in the branches. And now you have, believe it or not, a taroides. That's not what we're talking about. This. You have a mixture. You have a mixture of kosher schach together with posel schach, and it's all mixed together, and now the soup becomes kosher. So that's the Gemara's eight. That's the Gemara's great solution. Again, it's not going to be that practical. Most of that tree problems, if you have a tree that's low, for us it's no big deal. You just go and yank off the branch and solve the problem. The problem with that tree is when they're 50 feet up in the air. But look at so you have a low tree, and you don't want to knock down the tree. You like these branches. So that's the Gemara, no problem. You don't have to break off the branches. Just have to revolve all the branches below. Just mix them up again, mixed up together with the schach kosher, and you're home free. So I can't give you a Gemara. The question is, what kind of din is it? Where does this come from? What kind of halacha is this? So Rashi on the span in the first paragraph of Zechasuga writes, this is not such a chiddush, this halacha. Says Rashi, we know this already. Anyone who comes Sunday morning knows this halacha. Acharam latos, there's a din of bittul b'rayv. Says Rashi, there's nothing fundamentally different between what you are doing and when you have two pieces of kosher meat and one piece of treif meat, and they get mixed up together, and you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat all three, you're allowed to eat one, you're allowed to eat two, whatever you're allowed to do. It's the same halacha, says Rashi. This din of b'shechavton is not a din prot, is nothing unique to chasukah. It's part of the regular halacha of bittul b'rayv.
There are a lot
of problems with this. We're gonna get to all the problems in a moment. So again, so this is how Rashi presents the sugya, that there's nothing radically different between this and the regular din of bittul b'rayv. So comes the Ran and asks, and Rashi says, wait a second, this is the din of bittul b'rayv. This is a regular application of rov. There's something that's very problematic with this bittul b'rayv. Says the Ran, a person comes and looks at the schach. So in Okanami, if a guy did a really good job, so it's all mixed together, let's say one big taroivis, says the Ran, wait a second. He said, you can easily separate them. He said, it'll take you 1 second to yank off the bamboo, and then lo and behold, you're going to be left with schach posel. So says the Ran, what kind of bittul b'rayv is that? How is that bittul b'rayv? It's efshel haker iser. You can do something, it may take a little bit of time, you got to get up on your ladder, you got to start moving around. Even though right now it looks like it's Mahurav, right now it looks like you can't tell what's what. It's one big forest on top of your tree, on top of your sukkah. But it's Efshar to separate between the two. It's Efshar Lahafrida Isamehat there. So says the Ran, whoever heard of Bittul? That's called Bittul Barov. Bittul Barov means when you have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of treif meat, and there's nothing you can ever do about it. You can shake it up a million times, you can move it around, you can say, you still won't be able to tell the difference. One looks like the other. That's called bittul b'rayv. But when all you have to do is do a little bit of work, and you can get the iser out, efshel lahafir iser ben ahepter. So what kind of bittul b'rayv? Lo shemana davazem ayolam. There should be a din of bittul b'rayv. So the Ran says, you're right. The Ran says, this is not the din of bittul b'rayv. This is not rooted in achirat mahatos. This is a new halacha, new chasukah. Kach nemar halacha Moshe Sinai. That there's such a din. This has nothing to do with Tarovas, nothing to do with Yeri Day, nothing to do with Sunday morning Shurim. There's a special din min HaTorah of Halacha Moshe Sinai that you follow up even under these circumstances. Where did the Ran get this idea that there's such a Halacha Moshe Sinai? So we got it based on the fact that the Gemara says that what's the din if you have Schach, and the Schach is only covering part of the Sukkah. Let's say you have slats or something which are puzzle. And you decide to put schach in between the slats. And the whole sugya Gemara, you have metal slats in the sukkah, and then you put schach in between the slats. As long as you have more than half, or then according to one day of the Gemara, even if you have 50-50, so the schach may be kosher also. There's a special halacha Moshe Messina that you follow rov in the realm of schach. Nothing to do with the din of a bittul b'rayv, even if it doesn't meet the regular criteria of bittul b'rayv. Just the mere fact that it's a rov schach kosher is kosher. Nothing to do with rov. Rov schach kosher is automatically considered to be kosher. So there is a machlekes now taking place between Rashi and the Ran, which goes back to the Sunday morning shiurim. Namely, The Ran's taina against Rashi that how can you apply the regular principle of roll? After all, it's epshal hafrid ha'isad ha'het there. Rashi clearly denies. Rashi holds that you don't need a halacha moshe m'sinai here. This is the plain, simple three words echer hamlahatos. So Rashi is assuming that bitul barov is applicable even in a situation where you can theoretically do something to separate out the issa from the heter. So this machlekes Rashi and the Ran appears actually in regular chistaroyis in Yerideya in the following situation. The Rashba raises a question in terms of bitul barov. You know, we're used to bitul barov and achatichas. If two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of treifer meat, they all three get mixed together. That's how we usually identify the principle of a bitul barov. The Rashba raises the following question: what would it be? They're also a common shaila. You have three spoons, and two of the spoons are kosher, and one of the spoons is treif. How did the spoon become treif? Just 5 minutes ago, I stirred a pot of chaza with the spoon, and now by mistake, all three spoons get mixed up together. They all look the same. So I know that I have two kosher spoons, and I have one treif spoon. What's the din? What's the halacha? Can I say charab lahatas or not? So the chori, you should say, it's bitul barov. What's the difference? Madachim, I have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of treif meat. They all get mixed together. I can't tell. It's bitul barov. Here too, when I have two pieces of kosher spoons, one piece of trunk treif spoon, you should say charab lahatas. It should be mutter to use the spoons. That's what I would have said. There comes the Rashi, but there's a whole discussion. No, maybe you can't apply the rule of bitul barov here. For a very, very technical reason. What's the reason? Maybe this is called a davar she'esh lamatirin. So the Gemara says that a davar she'esh lamatirin, we just spoke about this the other day, right? Davar she'esh, let me talk about it, I forgot already. Friday, Wednesday, I forgot already. A davar she'esh, oh, but a dama par, damasar, right, Rabbi Yom Kippur. A davar she'esh lamatirin, a filu be'alef, lo batil. The Gemara says in the Yidimus of the Beitza, that if you have something which is us right now, but it's going to become mutter, something that's also now going to become mutter later, bitul doesn't apply to it. But why not? So that's already old. Like it's rashed around. I'm talking about it right now, but another time. Bitul doesn't apply when something is going to be mutter. So the example that the Gemara gives is a beit zeh shenol b'yamtiv. If you have an egg that was laid on yamtiv, that egg is muktzah. It's muktzah until yamtiv is over. What if by on yamtiv that egg got mixed into 1,000 other eggs? So the Gemara says you can't eat all the eggs. Why? Because just wait till the yantav is over. It's a davar she'esh lamatirin. It's a davar she'esh lamatirin. If you have a batil, the Gemara has that a chadash. Also, if you have new grain, it gets mixed up. You say a davar she'esh lamatirin. If you have a batil, remember we had a shayla once years ago. We got married, so we had Mary Yaakov Soloveitchik. I've seen his name floating around recently. So Mary Yaakov Soloveitchik was Avraham's grandson. See, at the time, he was a little kid. He was a teenager. He was in NYU. And he came to us once for a Friday night meal. So he was machped on Chadash. He's Rav Aaron's grandson. So he's going to be machped on Chadash, obviously. So we knew that he was machped on Chadash. So I told my wife before, just make sure that everything is yoshin for that Friday night meal. So she came for dessert. So she brought out some brownies. And she said that she made them with the yoshin flour. But she just felt terrible because she had forgotten to empty out the thing of flour, the jar of flour that she had kept in the old flour, or the new flour, whatever you want to call it, the jar she had kept in the tray flour beforehand, so she had emptied it out, but there was a little bit of flour left in, and she didn't realize that she poured in the yashin flour, and she didn't know whether he would want to eat the brownies, because the lice, there was some of the possible chadash flour that was still in these brownies. That was the shah that was presented. So Yaakov Soloveitchik said at the time, said his grandfather told him that we only have to be machbud on yashin vis-a-vis dinim d'araisa, not like I'm dinim d'rabbanim of chadash. You just have to keep chadash d'araisa. So min haTorah, the little bit of flour that was the tray for flour was batel in the kosher flour that was put in subsequently. The only thing is the Gemara says in the Dar that chadash is a davar she'esh lamatirin because you can wait till Pesach to have it. So it's a davar she'esh lamatirin. Davar she'esh lamatirin afilu bi'alf lo batel. But that din of davar she'esh lamatirin afilu bi'alf lo batel is only a chumah midirabanan. And his grandfather paskin that like midirabanan, you don't have to be chashish for chadash. So he ate the brownies. So he ate the brownies even though they had the tray for shittos, they had the tray for flour in them because davar she'esh lamatirin is only a whatever it is, fine. So he enjoyed the brownies.
It also depends what time of year this was.
It could be right. Some Rishonim say it's not a davar she'esh, the brownies are going to get stale. What are you going to do with them? Stick them in the freezer? They're going to be stale by the time you can sell them to a guy. It's not a davar she'esh material. That's a different shot, right? I remember that particular. I was staying that particular Friday night, so we locked ourselves out of our apartment by mistake. And the only way to get in, if you live in the Heights, not so bad. We had all fire escapes. So the only problem is that we had bars or something on the window. So we had the keys were inside the apartment. So you have to know exactly. You have to put your hand through the window. You're going to do it in the Heights. You have to put your hand through the window, and to be able to maneuver the keys through the window to be able to get onto the fire escape and then open up the bars. The Lumbish bar. So I remember I was climbing up with him. We lived on the fifth floor. Climbing up to do this, and we got to the top of the fire escape. First thing we remember that we had a din of a bab machteres. When the Gemara says the bab machteres is nitan, is ein adam mebein mechol bein b'shabbos. That was the first ha'ara. But the second ha'ara that we made was is that when we got to the top, so we were concerned about whether we can stick our hands through the window and bring the keys out because there's a shal of carrying on Shabbos. Because it's a brisket not going to look any cooler. Even the Ravon is not going to look any cooler than Shabbos. So the problem was that the house was Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and there was no Erev there, even though there would have been for the briskets, it wouldn't have made a difference. So Shalom was going to bring the key from inside, outside onto the fire escape. I thought the fire escape was a Mocha Patur. So depending on the layouts that we're having, we were discussing on top of it, on the fifth floor of the fire escape, whether the fire escape was a Mocha Patur or not. That was the latest Asafik. Anyway, so I remember that particular Shabbos. It had many, many memorable occasions to it. Anyway, getting back to the story. So maybe we should have cut that out of the tape. I think I'm crazy. Anyway, getting back to the story, so the din is that so the Rashi raises the question, when you have one treifa spoon gets mixed up with two kosher spoons, how can you say bittul? It's a davar sheish matir, just go kasher. What's the big deal? We'll take a pot of water, throw it in and kasher all three of them. So it's a davar sheish matir, davar sheish matir, afilu bi'af lo bottle. So the Rashi says, no, that's not called davar sheish matir, because davar sheish matir only means when it's going to be very, very easy to do. When either you just put it aside and wait for Yom Tov to be over. It's going to be something you have to wait till Pesach, something which doesn't cost you any money. But when you have to pay money for something, when you have to cost you dollars and cents, that's not called davar sheish matir. So says the Rashi, it's going to cost you money to go kasher the spoons. Why? You have to go, it's going to cost you tircha and money, you got to go down the well, you got to get a pot of water, you got to go buy your wood, you got to go make a fire, it's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you money. It's a big deal. So whatever you have to be motzi yotzel, it's going to cost you time and money, that's not called davar sheish matirin. So therefore we apply the regular rules of bittul to that. So that's a question, does that really apply for us? This kula of the Rashba, cost you money to kasher. It's cost you money to kasher. Turn your stove for a second, throw a pot of water. It takes you 3 seconds to heat up a pot of water and throw it in the spoons. So it's a little bit shaky whether we can rely on this Rashba as manadeh, because the Rashba is only willing to not call it davar sheish matirin because it's so easy, because it's not so easy to do. But a couple of the Rashba says it's okay. The Rashba is not concerned with the bittul baro. The Rashba, the only issue the Rashba raised was davar sheish matirin, and that he's willing to ignore. So comes the Ra'ah, the Baal Shem Tov of the Rashba, comes the Ra'ah and Ben Gavayis, and says, no. He says, the whole principle of Bittul doesn't make any sense. Why? Because here you could separate the Issa from the Heter. You could kasher it. Not because of davar sheish matirin. Forget about davar sheish matirin. The Rashba is right about davar sheish matirin. There's a much more fundamental problem here, says the Ra'ah, is that the Issa and the Heter can be separated one from another through the process of Hagolah. If you heat up the pot of water, throw the spoons in, so the Chazer is going to separate out from the spoons. Says the Ra'ah, Heichan Shemana, the Vazem Yalam, that Bittul should apply when the Isra and the Heter can be separated one from another. When you have three pieces of three chatichas, how can you ever separate the Isra and the Heter? There's no way to know. You can't tell, that's no problem. You can't tell the Isra from the Heter. But whenever the Isra and the Heter can easily be separated one from another, so that's that's Bechlal, not in the parasha of Bittul. So the Chara, that Machlek is the Rashba and the Ra'ah, in terms of kashering kelim, whether you have to kasher terrific kelim to get mixed in, or you can rely on rov, l'chor, that's the same achlik as the Rashi and the Ran in Hilchos Sukkah. This is a fundamental question when it comes to bittul berov. Does bittul berov only apply in a situation where it's a done deal? There's nothing I can possibly do to salvage the problem. Or does bittul apply? I could separate one from another. I could climb up in a ladder and separate the schach from another, but I'm not mechuyav to do so because right now it's all mixed together. Right now it's a big tarovis. The fact that it's efshir l'salig, that means that's not called davar sheish matir. I'm not going to be matir anything. I'm just going to simply be misalik the tarovis. I'm a mechuyav to be misalik the tarovis. I'm a mechuyav to do something to put the isra into the isra camp and the heter into the heter camp. I'm a mechuyav to do that. Or can I just hide behind the uberov and say, it's bubble, we're all finished. So according to Rashi, And the Rashba, it's a din min haTorah, the Bittul Barov applies, even though I can do something about it, but I don't want to do anything about it. I don't want to climb up. I don't want to kasha the kelim. So Bittul Haram Matos tells me that right now it's bottle finished. And the other Rishonim, the Ran, and the Masechta Sukkah, and the Ra'ah, in Hilchos Tarovos, are saying nothing doing. That's not called Bittul Barov, because it's actually Shalig Zemizim. But Lechora, this Machlekes of Rishonim only makes sense when right now it's Takam Urav. Right now I can't tell the Is from the Heter. If you climb on top of the tree and you try to figure out where the branches, I can't see which branches are which. It's all one big Tarevis. The branches of the tree have been so mixed into the Sach. Let's say Bismanazna, we make sukkahs with bamboo. This thing wouldn't apply with bamboo. How can you say it's both of a rov? I can tell what's bamboo and what's branches. This din only applies in the olden days when you made a sukkah made out of branches. So it's branches and leaves and everything. It's like the old good old style sukkahs. Remember when the first year we used bamboo, the first year we bought a sukkah, we bought years ago when I was a little kid, and we used bamboo. So remember my grandmother, she walks into the sukkah the first night and says, "Where's the schach?" I said, "What do you mean, where's the schach?" "That's the schach." She says, "What is that?" "What's the schach?" He said, "I schach was green. Schach was green with branches, with trees." "Oh, that's poles." I said, no, that's branches. Let's explain. So if you have the old style sukkahs, we have branches and leaves and everything, and then you have some of the branches roll down from the tree, so then you can argue that's called bittul barov. But if you have if it's nikar one from another, I could tell where's the schach, what's the tree. So what kind of bittul barov is that? So, that's not the machlokes Rash and the Ran. Rash and the Ran are talking about a situation where right now the fear also inayim it is ma'uruv yachad. I can't tell one from another. The only thing is, if I'll work hard enough, if I'll climb up there and I'll get a ladder and I'll start pulling apart the branches, I'll be able to separate it. But right now it's not ma'uruv. But what would the din be if it's not ma'uruv now? If right now I have schach, and then I have a couple of branches on top. I take one look at it and I see what's a branch and what's a schach. So l'chayr, nobody would say that that's going to be both of a row. L'chayr, that's for sure going to be a problem. So that, what I just said, is not so partial. So that's a machlekes acharonim, whether how far would we go? Would we even say bittul barov under those circumstances? So there is a levush in Hilchos Sukkah, there's a very, very mechudesh tigashita. The levush raises this question. He says, how can anybody say that there's a din of bittul barov if it's nikar iser? After all, we know that nikar iser undermines bittul, and that's a double partial in your idea, that nikar iser, if you can tell what's what, that undermines bittul. So says Levush, so how can it work in Hilchos Sukkah? So says Levush, no, it's not a problem. It can work in Hilchos Sukkah. You know why? Listen to this, says Levush. Min haTorah, bittul works, even when it's nikar iser. Mind-boggling statement. Min haTorah, you can apply the principle of bittul, even though you see the iser, you see the heter, you know which is which, it's recognizable, but it's all mixed together. So even though if I look carefully, I'll see which is which, it's okay. Mid the raisa, that's good. Then he says, everybody ever heard there knows that's no good. So he said, nah, it's a chumim mid the rabbanim, that it's no good. But mid haTorah, even that's good. Even that's called a chiram mahatus. So says the levush, so therefore, when it comes to chasukah, no, mid the makel, chasukah, they let you follow the deraisa, the kedim of bittul. In your day, we have to be extra careful. We don't want to eat this or it's a more chomer than Hilchos Sukkah. So they kept it like they did in their Isa, that even though it's Nikar Isser, it's still going to be bottle. So Levush says, and I'll prove to you that I'm right, that Nikar Isser is Mutter Min haTorah. Says Levush, what's the mocha for Bittul Barov? Where does Bittul Barov come from? Come from Dayanim, from three Dayanim. Two Dayanim are saying Chayev, and one Dayan is saying Potter. So the Psak is that it's Bittul Barov, right? We know that. From Chayim, right? We spoke about this in the previous weeks. The whole bit of Bittul Barov is based on the principle of Dayanim. So says the Levush, this is the question that we asked on Reb Chayim, right? We left this Kesh Tzachi in Reb Chayim. So Levush says, isn't Dayanim Nikra Issa? The three guys sitting there, one guy saying Potter, two guys are saying Chayev. I know exactly who's saying Potter. They're not mixed together. They're not mixed into a basket together. I know who's Chayev. I know who's Potter. And still the Torah says Echaram Mahatos. So you see from here, Zot Pelavosh, that Midaraisi, you can say Bittul, even though it's Nikra Isser. Now we understand why. No, the Sukkot's a Chubba Midarabonim. At Kan Devri Elavosh. So comes the Taz in Hilchos Sukkah. And says, Chas v'sholem lo mazach. He says, he's a very, very strong lashon against the Levush. He says, how could anybody say that? It's impossible, Zot B'taz, to say such a thing. Do you realize the ramifications of what you just said? Says the Taz, you have three pieces of meat on the table. They're all packaged. One of them, two of them have an OU on them, and one of them says treif on it. So they're all on the same table. I'll mix them up together. I'll close my eyes. I can eat all of them. Why? Because the bottle berov. I can tell the packet says treif on it. So what? It's bottle berov. So what are you having to be? I got a bottle. You go to any store. All the food in the store is all bottle berov. It's on a shelf. It's OU food. It's treif food on the shelf. So everything's bottle berov. I said, what's going on? How did anybody say you're talking about? Because I'm not, to tell you the truth, I don't feel bad because the Taz wasn't sure what the Levush was talking about, but it can't be. It's not shy to say such a thing. So Taka, the question from Dayorim is a good question. So if we cannot accept the Levush, it cannot be, it doesn't make any sense. So Taka, the question from Dayorim is a really, really good question. So why don't we say that the Dayorim is called Nikra Issa? So we were stumped with that question. We didn't know what the answer to that question was. So the Taz suggests an answer to that question. The Taz says, I'll tell you what the din is. By Dayorim, it's a different halacha. But Dayorim, it's not pshat that the Dayan who says potter becomes like he's saying chayef. No, it's not true. The Dayan who says potter is not saying chayef. It's not bittul berov. You know what it is? It's bottle berov. You know what bottle means? Bottle, he has a different word. Usually bittul berov means that B takes on the characteristics of A. Here, bottle means we throw him out. It's his commander leisa. We take him and we toss him out the window. It's a different kind of bittul berov. It's not the same bittul berov that we're used to. That dying is commander leisa. So says the Taz, that's what's going on by Dayanim. So Dayanim don't ask me the cash from Dayanim. So up until 100 years ago, people saw the Taz. Okay, great. Come to Reb Chaim and says, but that can't be it. Because according to Reb Chaim, if that's the truth, if that's how bittul Dayanim works, so then you don't have a Beis Din. Remember that was the whole Yisrael from Reb Chaim in Bavel Kama, that you need a psak of a Beis Din to make the guy chayav, and the definition of a Beis Din means three mamnas b'shleisha, you need three dayanim, which have to join together to declare bottle. So the chayr, it's a pella. The Taz is saying that the din of bittul dayanim is not really a din of bittul barov. Fakir, says Reb Chaim. The whole mocha for bittul barov is from bittul dayanim. So we're back to square one. So we have this glaring problem about bittul dayanim. Bittul dayanim is flying in the face of everything that we know about bittul barov. We don't want to go to the root of the Levush and say that Enochet Amin HaTorah, even Nikar Isser is Baltel. That seems very, very difficult to say. And to say what the Taz is saying, that this is not Bittul Barov, this is a Psanudin, it's like Bittul Chometz, it's like Bittul Avodah Zar. The word Bittul means a lot of things. Bittul just means it's negated, it doesn't exist. That's Kamanda Leisa. We don't want to say it's Kamanda Leisa, because if it's Kamanda Leisa, then you know the Beis Din in front of you. So we're, no matter which direction we turn, we are stuck with the Dayanim problem. So I'm not sure what the answer to the Dayanim problem is. And Reb Chaim doesn't really address the issue of the Dayanim problem. Nikar Isser is flying in the face. The Din of Dayanim is flying in the face of the Din of Nikar Isser. But I call upon him, Pashas, Advarim, and Silk is for sure like the Taz, not like the Levush, that the only reason why this Chach Posel is Botel Berov, even according to those who Shanim will say that it's the regular Din of Bittel Berov, like Rashi, that's only because it's Lamaisa, not Nikar Isser right now. You could create Nikar Isser. If you go ahead and you start to separate it and you go climb on the ladder, it's okay, so Rashi also been a Torah, not Mechiv to do that. Maybe even the Rabbani not Mechiv to do that. But for anybody to say that, if you look at it and you see, this is Chach Kosher, this is Chach Posel, what kind of Bittel Berov? That's not going to qualify as Bittel Berov.
Can you say about Dayanim, the whole Pesach Din is Klafi the Bali Din, and Klafi the Bali Din is not Nikar
Isser. It means because the Bali Din don't know the facts. Because yeah.
Because
the mission said, and it says, you're not allowed to tell them. Yeah, but it's hard to say that. Lamaisa, what if the Dayanim go out and they tell everybody who said what? They write it, so they weren't supposed to. You know, they weren't supposed to, so they violated Lashon Hara. They violated being Megala Sod. But Lamaisa doesn't undermine the. So now we. Lo Shemaud of Zema Yodam, that if the Dayanim snitch and they tell us who said what, so now the Bali Din, we have to start the Din over again.
Would you say it's Nikar Isser if it would require you to be over an Isser to figure out what's going on?
I mean, it's.
What if I could be mafia de Isser, but it would require me being over an Isser Dorah to do so?
I don't know. That Mishnah said it. Usually when you read that Mishnah said it, that Mishnah sounds like it's Hilchos Lashon Hara. It doesn't sound like it has any real relevance in terms of the Psa. According to what you're saying, that Mishnah that says the Yom HaNadal, I say who said what, is I don't know. The other way, Din HaFashas also you have that. Din HaFashas really, Din HaFashas, you have 12 Dayanim, 15 Dayanim said Chayav, 8 Dayanim said Potter. So the Dayanim are going to go ahead and kill somebody. We're going to mamish kill somebody based on Rov. So we're going to kill somebody based on Rov, but we know what the facts are. We know that there's an Nikar Isser. I'm not sure. So come to Rishonim and bottom with another question. This whole application of Rov and this Sugya, you're taking some of this Chach Posel and you're mixing it with this Chach Kosher, the whole story. This also flies in the face of another halacha of Rov, another limitation of Rov, and that's the principle called Eim Vatlan Issa Lechatchila. Normally, when you take bittul means when you have three pieces of meat, they got mixed up by themselves. Am I allowed to go to the store, buy a tray for a piece of meat, take off the wrapper, mix it up with two other kosher pieces, close my eyes, and hocus pocus, and everything's mutter? So you're not allowed to do that. That's called aim of halanis lechatchila. So aren't you doing that here? That's exactly what you're doing here. You're taking the schach posel, you're mixing it with the schach kosher, and that's called aim of halanis lechatchila. So that's a big question. Is that called aim of halanis lechatchila now? So one could argue maybe the whole din of aim of halanis lechatchila is only with rabbanon. According to many rishonim, it's only in issur the rabbanon to do that. So you could argue chesukma is more kallah, something to say. They want some machma. They want to ruin your sukkah. The poor guy's got a sukkah underneath his tree. The only way to salvage it is to be vatal din issur lechatchila. Okay, so you could say that we're not going to be so super duper machmir on this aim of halanis lechatchila. Maybe one could argue that. So there are some suggest that no, maybe the answer to the problem is as follows. When are you doing this stunt? When is the guy being mevatel the schach? He's not doing it on Yom Tov. The schach is mumps on Yom Tov. He's not pulling down tree branches on Yom Tov. Obviously, he's doing it before Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov, what's osur about the schach? It's Erev Yom Tov. Erev Sukkot, I can sit in a sukkah that's possible. I can eat in my house for that matter, in Erev Sukkot. So it's not called the Shein Issa. Eim Evat L'Sachachila means when you have a Chetz of Issa, something which is Chawa, it's a piece of Chazer. So to take a piece of Chazer and to put it into a mixture with other foods, that's called Eim Evat L'Sachachila. I take a piece of Trefa Salami and I take off the wrapper and I mix it together with kosher salamis, that's called Eim Evat L'Sachachila. When I take something which is already Chawa and a Shein Issa, that's called Eim Evat L'Sachachila. But one could argue, if I'm doing this before, it's asur. So it's not asur yet. That's not called Eibivatnas Lechatchila. So maybe that's the solution to the problem. Or maybe one could say even more lumdish than that. Maybe you could argue that this is not called an isur altogether. What's asur about Tzchach Posel? What's the isur about Tzchach Posel? It's an isur. The issue about Tzchach Posel is that it's posel. So I'm not going to be able to eat it in mitzvah sukkah. That's not called a chetzah shel issur. Chetzah shel issur means a chazir that has characteristics of issur. The vela, chametz, those are things which are dvarim asurim. Tzchach Posel is going to prevent me from fulfilling my mitzvah sukkah, but there's nothing intrinsically wrong with it. I have to run away from chazir. I got to run away from the vela. I got to run away from chametz beisach. I have to run away from a tree on sukkahs. What's wrong with a tree on sukkahs? I can sit under a tree on sukkahs. If I don't want to eat, I don't want to sleep, I don't want to do the mitzvah sukkah, I can sit up. I want to relax, put my chair outside under a tree. What's wrong with sitting under a tree on sukkahs? It's not an issa sitting under a tree. The problem is, if you want to be yotzei sukkah and you put your sukkah under a tree, that's going to disqualify. It's going to be a psul in the mitzvah essay of sukkah. But maybe that's not called a dover also. So maybe the whole idea of a mevatlin, issa lechatchila, doesn't get off the ground. That's not called a mevatlin, issa lechatchila. So the Rishayim have already asked this question. And the Achronim, about this question. So different permutations to this problem. How do you solve the issue of Eim Evat L'Sachachila? Is it because it's before Yom Tov? Is it because it's not called the Rosa? Maybe Eim Evat L'Sachachila is only beside the Rabbani? You have to figure out an eight, so why it's not a problem. The Gemara is the favorite that it would be okay. So call for him. This whole sugi about chavta, the whole sugi about being mevatel schach posel, schach kosher, is all coming to solve the problem of sukkah tachas that you learn. Whether or not you even have the problem in the first place is a machlokes Rashi and Rabban, depending on what the layout, the makeup of the relationship of amount of schach and the tree is all about. But if you have some kind of a problem, you're going to solve it by relying on rov. So you have machlokes Rishonim. Is this the regular din of rov? Is this the mechudish din of rov? Is this really the proper application of rov? Because after all, this is efshar lahafrid. You could separate the kosher from the posel. Is this considered to be nikra hisser or not? Machlokes lavush and betaz. Then the later question that the Rishonim and the thoughtful about is that what happened to the problem of aim of atlas achila. So this sugya, which is primarily a super sugya, got us a little bit into a continuation of our sheish ma'aseh. Okay, we'll stop.
And the leniency about allowing us to do this because it's not called aim of atlas achila issue, but the nikra is because it requires work.
Because it's not really nikra. It means right now it's not nikra. Right now it's not all mixed together.
Not just Rashi. Everybody would agree with that.
Right. Because right now. Well, that's the problem.
I look at it from underneath.
It looks like it's all one. I can't tell. Right. Right.
So
right.
It's not Nikra.
Right. But Shalom, the way I'm looking at it now, it looks like it's a Tarom. So Rashi says that's a regular Dinabitl. The Ran says that wouldn't work. You need a special Lachamashim Sinai to be involved in this.